Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website rickackerman.com. He's speaking to us from South Florida. Welcome back to the show, Rick. And South Florida, the winter weather, not that great?
Not that great. I think someone said we were going down into the 40s tomorrow, and I don't think that's going to quite freeze the oranges, but it's certainly as cold as I've felt over the years that I've lived down here. So,
what's that going to do to the orange juice prices? Because they can really dramatically swing around.
I don't think it'll affect them much. You go to like you go to Whole Foods for orange juice. If you got to ask about the price, you shouldn't be buying it.
Now, weather-wise, the ski resorts across North America, a lack of snow. We did have the cold snap and the snow's back. But you said people in Florida who came down for Christmas vacations in the sun were disappointed. And the people who booked Whistler for ski vacations were disappointed because of the lack of snow.
So yeah, you're talking about high season, you know, paying $500-$700 a night.
Oh, that'd be cheap in Whistler.
Oh, would it? Wow. Yeah. It's cheaper to ski and chat.
Several years ago, Whistler had no snow around Christmas time and stayed at the Chateau Whistler for $200 a night with the family. None of them skied. I'm a skier, but they didn't. And but Christmas morning, you never saw more depressed people Christmas Day than Whistler with no snow.
Uh-huh. Well, I know, you know, the most depressing no snow stories that I've seen concern the slopes of Europe.
Yeah, again.
Chamonix makes Whistler look cheap.
Yeah. But they don't have the vertical run that Whistler does, more than a mile down.
That's pretty good.
Yes, it is. So
pretty good. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, on the stock markets, what was the reaction to the U.S. government claiming that the GDP grew 3.3% in the fourth quarter instead of an expected 2%?
Isn't that great? I mean, that's the stupidest. I hate to even look, you know. I don't really have a calendar that tells me when this news is going to hit. But when I turn on my screen in the morning and kind of look at some charts, and I see that there's been some sort of hysteria that lasted for 42 seconds, I know that some piece of momentous news has come from the statistical arm of the U.S. government. And you got to wonder who the heck believes that the economy is growing at 3.3%. You know, you see big companies laying off. You see independent businesses, anything, whether you're talking about restaurants, dry cleaning, you know, ski rentals, you name it, they're all struggling to stay alive. Where that 3.3% comes from is beyond me. You know, I've seen estimates. Jim Willey's pretty good at it. And, of course, John Williams, Shadow Stats. They get closer to it when they talk about a 20% unemployment rate, and it's not benignly adjusted based on how many people have dropped out of the workforce. But the GDP growth, I don't know, but it's one of those statistics The market has to pretend that it's meaningful. And it does that. You know, if you're sitting on a trade desk, you have to, you don't react to that news based on your notion of whether it's true or not or factually correct. You just act on it on the basis of what you think the idiot in the next, in your competing, you know, the office next door is going to react. Their trade desk is going to jump on it, and they act in accordance with the idea that you're going to jump on it. So they all buy into these phony numbers, and it creates these wild swings that last for just a little bit. And I can only say it bludgeoned my trading plan to death today.
20% unemployment. It's true in Canada and the U.S. You're only unemployed for as long as you claim employment insurance, but once that insurance runs out, you don't exist anymore.
Good way to sort of get those drop-offs working for you. You know, I mean, every statistical bias seems to be bullish, but that's what it's all about. That's what the game is about. That's why Wall Street exists.
Well, again, manipulating the numbers just like cost of living. It used to be steak. Now it's I don't know, pork lips or whatever you know is the meat that they judge it by. And let's eliminate mortgages and energy from the cost of living. Who lives in a house or drives a car or heats a home?
Yeah, it's their inconvenient statistics. You just don't want them to mess up a good picture.
Of course, this has been going on for such a long time. I think it was Chrétien and Bush who agreed to get rid of, or maybe Clinton. Let's get rid of the real inflation numbers because it makes us look bad.
Right. Well, I think they've pretty much rigged the list so that nothing could ever look particularly bad. Everything's coming up roses.
Yeah, except they've substituted dandelions for roses now.
Yeah, we're definitely in. We're not in the flower garden anymore.
So, do people trade with confidence, or is it a case of the U.S. stock market is really the only game in town right now?
It's not the only game, but certainly its growth suggests it's been a very successful game. And since Rick's Picks began publishing more than 20 years ago, the point of emphasis, the working metaphor was that the stock market is really just a big carnival midway game. And if there was a day in the distant past, sometime during our childhood, when the markets functioned as a way to raise capital for companies, that no longer exists. It's just a giant shell game. And, you know, the point that we've talked about a number of times is that the derivatives market is huge. And I like the $2 quadrillion figure, but there are a lot of skeptics out there who say, oh, you're double counting, you know, and there's two sides to every trade and you should cut it in half for starters. But even if you cut it by 75% down to a mere $500 trillion, you still have a number that is hugely larger, five times as large as global GDP. It's so the question is still there. Why do we need a banking edifice of $500 trillion to support global commerce in real goods and services that amounts to no more than, you know, $100-some trillion? So I think on its face and just in a very simple way that anybody can understand, the business of this planet is simply shuffling paper. Everybody's, you know, found a way to make a little side action off wherever the main action is, and we've kind of lost sight. The main action is no longer important. People know who would want to get their hands dirty manufacturing something when all you got to do is shuffle some paper.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Apparently, U.S. oil reserves dropped at their biggest rate ever last week. What's the story with crude?
Well, I know that this is an election year, you know, so that the administration, as it were, is going all out to keep gas prices down. I don't know. Search me as far as what difference it makes how much we have in reserves. I guess it will come into play if there's some sort of terrible cold snap, but. You know, crude prices have been not too crazy, really. Texas crude is 76 and change, and it is up from. I'm looking at a very short-term graph there, but it's been pretty steady. You know, you can tell from the pump prices what the impact of on reserves is. Oil has been in a rally, though. It's been an uptrend for the last week anyway, and that's taken the price from about $70 a barrel up to a current 76. So that's probably enough to push prices maybe 15 to 20 cents at the pump, and you can certainly see that reflected at Costco, which turns out to be the lowest cost seller of gas in my area.
Yeah, it is here too. When the Costco closes, the price of gasoline goes up 10 cents a liter or 40 cents a gallon. when they close at night.
It's pretty, the price is pretty elastic relative to fluctuations in the production price, and you know, when you think of how much gas is sold, when the price of it goes up by, let's say, 50 cents a gallon, the macro impact of that, just all tens of hundreds of millions of people filling their gas tanks, it's a big chunk of change. But you know, I can remember a period of maybe 5 or 10 years where it was just 29 cents a gallon. It didn't really go places.
What's going on with gold?
Well, it's just trying to drive people who have followed gold, let's call them gold bug, drive them to suicide, perhaps. It's in a bull market. They're saying gold is on a buy signal right now, kind of short-term signal that would take it above 2100, currently trading about 2016 for the February COMEX. And so every time gold looks really good, it collapses. And every time you get to the point of despair, it takes off. But, net, it's going nowhere. Gold, as we speak, is trading exactly where it was in January of this year. So we've got a whole year, and it's done nothing. We had kind of an upswing up to 2150 or so, and the low of the range, which occurred in October simultaneous with the stock markets blasting off, the low was down around 1840. So we've made a little headway, but the last spike that we had, which put a peak at around 2150 on in early December, just kind of backed off since then, and it just gold can't seem to get out of its way.
Are the gold juniors going to come back this year?
You know, they say it's really about the cost of mining, which is so energy intensive that you're really kind of posing the question: what's fuel going to cost? Looking out ahead a year. The gold stocks, and if you're looking at a couple of the good proxies for them, GDXJ for one, which is a proxy for the smaller exploration companies, it's been dismal. You know, it's been such a slog. You could really get depressed. GDXJ is trading about where it was back in the end of 2022. So we've had in that vehicle a spike to as high as a little above 50 in April of 2022, and came down to a low in October again with the stock market. 26 bucks, currently trading 34. So it's closer to the lows than to the highs, and it's really been skittering more or less sideways since the beginning of this year, or I'm sorry, since the beginning of last year. So it's really just, it takes more patience than I have, and for people who have been collecting gold, hoarding gold, and just holding on to gold stocks, it's been very disappointing.
Tesla warns it won't grow as fast this year as in the past. Do you think they're worried about build your dream, BYD, in China?
Well, Tesla's always got to be looking over, Musk has to be looking over its shoulder at China, no matter how rosy things are. Tesla is really getting slammed today. Not too long ago, it was trading up above 250. And when I say not too long ago, let's see, as recently as late December, we were up at about 260 on the stock. We're currently trading 180. So the stock had a huge gap down today. Big. Yesterday, the stock closed at 207 and currently trading 181. So on a percentage basis, Tesla is getting creamed. It's off about 12 or 13%. And it's funny because they did a good job. Well, I guess you could look at it two ways. You know, over the cold snap just a week or two ago, the story was out there that people were getting stranded in long lines in Chicago and other cold, snowy places because the battery doesn't charge up as quickly in cold weather. And, of course, everybody was lining up at the chargers. And as you're doing that, keeping the heater on, you're burning fuel. So it created a very ugly situation for Tesla. And there were some mitigating factors. You know, we learned that Sweden, which has a longer experience with electric vehicles, has discovered that you got to keep the electric vehicle, the motor warm. So they have motor blankets and things like that and plug-in warmers. But we haven't made that adaptation yet, and there are not enough charging stations, really. That was, but they put a good face on it. And you might say that Tesla made it past that headline without getting slammed. But so whatever's happened today, I mean, the stock really took a header, and it may be a case of, all stocks are manipulated by quasi-criminals. And as I mentioned earlier, the way I present the market and all my commentary treats the markets as a big sleazy carnival midway. But so in the case of Tesla, you could say that while the headlines were out there, there was very deft distribution in the stock by the powers that be, which means that for a little while, the big players agree not to pound on what would amount to very thin bids. They just kind of hold the stock aloft for a little bit. And just when the rest of us are thinking, geez, Tesla certainly survived the cold weather story in good shape, just when you're starting to believe that, they absolutely cream the stock. So that's what's happened. It's a delayed reaction. And it always happens. You know, you're thinking, well, it's logical that Tesla should be falling, and it doesn't. So the delayed reaction comes in and you learn really to sort of stick with your instincts rather than trust what the stock is doing.
How's your stock market indicator doing?
Well, I use Microsoft. I think Microsoft is the best stock in the world now to look at because they built a bulletproof revenue stream with their subscription model. You know, we used to sort of be iffy about when we were going to finally get the new operating system or the new version of Outlook or whatever. And we did it by buying compact discs and later by downloading. But Microsoft has automated the process, so we get automatically renewed every year with Outlook and Windows, and or not necessarily Windows, but anyway, they put so many of their products, which are on everybody's machine in the whole world, on an automated billing cycle, that you could say they've got the Holy Grail in their possession. So I really like Microsoft, and I've been using for months and months and months a $430 target, currently trading, you know, up around 380, 385, and it's higher. It's actually pushing 400 lately, and I think it's going to go to 430. But when it gets there, you better watch out, because that's a very compelling target using the technical method that I use. And I do think that Microsoft will get there. That is what has kept me a perma bear on the right side of the market. You know, if a giant like Microsoft is going up on the chart, and it looks like it's going higher, then there's no way we're having a bear market. But I have to say the target is so compelling that I don't see a way for Apple to get past it without a very significant correction or even a bear market intervening. So when Microsoft gets to 430, I think that's going to be where the fat lady sings. And to sort of frame it that way, it saves me 20 pages of oscillators and flat triangles and pennants and wedge formations and other things on charts. It's a very simple idea, but I think it's logical enough that I trust it. So I use Microsoft as an indicator. Microsoft is looking really good these days, but I think there's a good chance that it'll be its last hurrah.
So what happens when it hits 430? Is that when the whole market collapses?
Well, if Microsoft ain't going no higher, then nothing else is. It really is a key global bellwether, and every other stock, even Apple, is just an also-ran. So anyway, Microsoft is the key stock, and I don't think it's much more complicated than that. You just watch Microsoft, and you'll get the market right. Apple to a lesser extent, because Apple, I think, is going to be extremely vulnerable in the inevitable recession that's coming. And Apple it's been a little more erratic than Microsoft lately.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Well, it's always a great pleasure, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with your audience, and of course, all of the uncensored stuff we talk about before these interviews is always great fun.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.